back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Wednesday morning. I'm Sam Speck. Glad you're listening to us, whether it's over the app, over the web at KGGFradio.com or right here on AM 690 KGGF. We continue our conversation with the K-State Extension offices. We've got Agent Jacob Weber in studio with us. As Jacob, it's certainly a little bit rainy, a little bit dense out there right now, but certainly it spells out the time to kind of get started guarding.
It's time.
It is.
The weather is not cooperating very well, and that means that getting out and getting the garden soil prepared for planting, it's kind of been delayed a little bit, but I kind of sneaked in a little bit of gardening. Got my lettuce and radishes planted. Should get some onions set out now. It's time to get that done. I have my onion plants, but I don't have the spot worked up for them, but I need to get that done. St. Patrick's Day coming up on Sunday. And that's the traditional day in locally here to plant the Irish potato. Actually, we call it Irish potato. It's the white potato, but it's not from Ireland. It's just that it's been made popular because of the Irish potato famine. But actually, potatoes are an American native plant from Central and South America, and have been made a more staple crop by Europeans who moved, taken the crop back to Europe and planted it. Good source of food, energy, a lot of carbohydrates in a potato, and the type of food that powers the muscles, I guess, so to speak. Probably not the best for you if you eat a whole bunch of them, but certainly a good crop to grow, and it needs to be planted early because it really grows and produces best in cooler soil. So if you really wanted to get into massive potato production of the white potatoes, you probably want to move up to Maine or out to Colorado, higher elevation. I know there's quite a few potatoes planted out in your area or neck of the woods. Well, if where you have good soil, that is. But here, we're going to have to wait a bit till the weather kind of settles down. We can get out and get some soil worked up in the garden. Thinking of that, talking about working the soil, I mentioned to you off the air that I worked the soil with a fork.
Yeah, I think that's something good to kind of get into here. Obviously, ranging in garden sizes, I think, is a good place to start with it. But explain kind of your reasoning behind why you go with a fork instead of a rotary tiller.
I can get out and work the garden soil a lot sooner than we can with a rotary tiller. And the reason for that is that the tiller, it's a good tool with a motor on it because you can cover a lot more ground. The reason I use a fork is because I don't have that big of a garden. I suppose I could go up to maybe 2,000 square foot without an issue, but a 5,000 square foot garden, probably you have to have a little bit extra help. Maybe a rotary tiller would be a good tool to have. But rotary tillers, they have some of the bigger units. Well, can till up to 6, possibly almost 8 inches deep. You really have to let them set and dig at that point. The issue with rotary tillers is that if the soil's wet, you can't, or even slightly wet, you can't use them very effectively because they compact the soil. They really will press it. They'll beat it down right below the area where they work the soil, which will be nice and loose. But at the bottom of the stroke, that blade is hitting the ground and pushing it down hard, and under certain conditions, it can create a compacted area that makes it difficult for roots to penetrate that area, and so you can end up really messing up the garden for pretty much part of the season, a good part of the growing season, because of that compaction layer, and the roots of the plants will not penetrate through that. They'll have a shallow rooting system and more susceptible to fluctuations in soil moisture and temperature, and probably see a reduction in productivity as a result if you get out in the garden too soon. another issue with rotary tillage equipment is that they can really damage the soil structure, not the texture. The soil texture is a different issue, and that can't be changed. That's the combination of various soil particle sizes, and that texture is pretty much set, and that's a permanent issue, unchanging over thousands of years. But that the structure of the soil, how it forms into units and allows for air and water infiltration, a rotary tiller can really smash and break that up into pieces, finer particles, and it takes a bit of time for that structure to reset. When you're using a rotary tiller, you probably want to slow that engine down. Don't rev it up like you're on an outboard motor boat and trying to get across the lake in the shortest period of time. Slow that engine down so those blades don't turn as fast. And instead of beating the soil, you're turning the soil. You're just working it and lifting it and breaking it up into smaller units, but not breaking it up into powder. Another problem with rotary tillers is the soil gets dry and you really beat it up. It definitely will damage the structure. Another good thing about using the fork is that it's very gentle on earthworms. Not so with rotary tillage equipment.
Can't imagine a rotary tiller is very easy on a pack of worms.
Yeah, I was looking at the earthworms that I was lifting up in my garden. And that's a good sign. You got earthworms, lots of earthworms. That means you got pretty good organic matter content.
Pretty lively soil.
Yeah.
And Jacob, actually, I think we do have someone over the phones that might have a question for you. Good morning, caller. You are on with Jacob and Sam. Did you have a question for Jacob this morning?
Yes, I do. I want to know if I should uncover my strawberries, take the straw off of them now.
That's a good question because I have my strawberries covered yet. I want to keep them kind of slowed down a little bit because I don't know how this weather's going to be in the next 2 or 3 weeks, but it's getting almost time. I was thinking about it, but I thought, well, I'd look at the plants. Now, if you have mulch on your strawberries, it should be very light, very shallow, and you should be able to detect leaves and plant growth through that mulch fairly easy. And once you see new leaf growth, that's time to pull the mulch back a little bit, okay?
Yeah, if it freezes again, will that...
The freezing temperatures can potentially occur. When those strawberry plants start to grow and push those leaves, that crown's starting to open up and those new flower buds are starting to push. And a good hard freeze, temperatures down in the 20 degrees in a couple of weeks can potentially damage flower buds. I'm assuming that your strawberries are going to be very similar to mine in my garden. Mine are fairly dormant yet. And so since they're dormant, I'm leaving the mulch on them because I want to make sure that they're a little slower.
When
to do it, when to pull the mulch off. Okay.
Right.
When you see leaves pushing, when the strawberry plants are starting to push some leaves, that's when you pull the mulch back. That'll be very soon. If you do it now, you don't have to worry about losing strawberry fruit production yet because the plants are fairly dormant. But you pull that mulch back. And what you're doing is you're allowing those warm days to stimulate growth in those plants. And but if you keep them covered a little bit longer, you're keeping that sunlight from getting down and warming that soil. And maybe you can delay your actual flower or bloom time a few days, and that may be enough to avoid some of those late frosts or freezes that come through. And still preserve your crop. So the thing of it is, you can uncover them today if you wish. That's okay.
Not here.
Okay, it's up to you right now, but eventually they will have to be uncovered, and that's when you start to see the new growth. That means the soil is warmed up to the point where you can't slow them down anymore, and you definitely don't want to have mulch on to interfere with the growth of the plant. But if the mulch is light enough, the strawberry plants are going to push right through it, and you'll just have that mulch up around the plants, and that'll actually provide an area when the fruit develops. It will lay down on top of the mulch instead of touching the soil, and that'll help you avoid a disease called leather rot, which is, I believe, a Phytophthora fungal infection that causes strawberry to have a brownish colored area. It doesn't turn to a mold, but it doesn't taste very good, and it's kind of bitter. So it destroys the quality of the fruit itself. But having that little barrier between the soil and the fruit is very helpful for reducing the incidence of that. So if you have a pretty heavy mulch, it's probably time to pull that mulch back and let a little bit of sunlight get down to the plants. But if you want to totally uncover them, that's fine too. I don't think you'll get in too much trouble. But be prepared for some late frost protection on your plants. You probably get earlier production, maybe a few days earlier, or maybe even a week or two earlier if you uncover them now. So go for it.
How about my thornless blackberries? What should I be doing to them now?
You should have the old canes removed. That should have been done last year after harvest. And the pruning should be finished on your now going to be floricanes. That pruning should be completed by now. Maybe some thinning. Definitely cut out the canes that have signs of redneck cane borer. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular insect, but you notice on the canes down maybe a few inches above the soil line to maybe actually almost 18 inches above the soil line, you'll see a swollen area like that. What a snake looks like after it swallowed a rat? It's kind of a lump in it.
Okay.
You look for those lumps in the canes, and if you see that, those canes are infested with redneck cane borer larva, and those should be cut out and burned to destroy that larva, because those canes won't produce any fruit at all. They'll actually dry up and die on you.
I haven't trimmed my live canes, how much should I do now?
How much should you do now? Well, if you have a good quality blackberry planting, you want to thin the canes out on each clump. I'm assuming that you have them planted about 3 or 4 foot apart, maybe to 3, 4, possibly 5, depending on the vigor of the clump itself. Save about 5 of the best-looking canes. And, of course, I assume that during the growing season last summer, you gave each one of those individual canes a pinch at the top. When it gets to be about 35 to 40 inches tall, give it a pinch, and it produces lateral branches. Now, if you didn't do that, you're going to have a long, stringy cane, maybe with a little bit of lateral branching. In that case, leave the canes about 6 foot long, so you can tie them up to a wire or something or a post. But if you've done the pinch, you're going to have 3, 4, possibly 5 lateral canes growing off of that main stem. Cut those back to about 18 inches long and thin them back to about maybe 3, possibly 4 laterals, save the best laterals, and the rest cut off.
Okay.
What that does is that increases the size and quality of the fruit itself. Your number of fruit production is going to go down, but increase in size and quality is going to make up for that difference, so you have better quality fruit. And, of course, thinning out means that you possibly enjoy the harvesting a lot better. It won't be as difficult.
You may need... should have cut those back last fall
On blackberry production, I don't know how much time we got, maybe a minute here. Blackberries are biennial canes for the most part. Some of them are primal cane bearing, but what I mean by that is they'll grow as a single, a very vigorous growing cane. It comes up in the spring, grows, and it doesn't produce fruit that year. It goes, and those are the ones that we want to pinch at about 35 to 40 inches tall, so they produce laterals. They go through the winter. Winter vernalization, if they have flower bud development, is important because it begins late summer, early fall. And so those are the ones that are going to be producing fruit this year. Those that grew last year are going to produce fruit this year. And when they're through producing fruit, when they produce fruit, they're called a floricane. And when they're done producing fruit, you cut them off at the ground. Get rid of them because they're going to die. They're going to hang on and maybe look green for the rest of the summer, and you think, well, maybe they'll come back next year and produce fruit, and they're done for. They'll never produce fruit again. They just make a mess. So you want to get rid of them after harvest, and you'll have the new canes coming up. They're going to produce fruit next year. That's the difference. So after harvest, after you're done harvesting, get your pruning, lopping shears out and go take care of those old things. Because they're no good. They actually harbor disease for you. So I guess I better quit now.
All right.
We're out
Thank
of time.
You.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks so much for the call. In fact, Jacob Weber, again, with the K-State Extension Agents, as always great with these conversations. Just you and I this morning, but
yep.
We got through it. Great information as well, as always. And real quick before we go, if not this Sunday, when do you expect for potatoes? Maybe within the next 7 days, something like that?
Get my potatoes in here within the next 2 weeks.
Next 2 weeks.
Certainly. Yeah.
But by the end of the month.
You're okay planting even the 1st of April is still okay. But the sooner you plant them, the better. But you plant them too early, and we get a late frost, and that'll knock them back pretty bad.
Well, with the K-State Research and Extension Offices, that's Agent Jacob Weber. Jacob, we'll do this again next Wednesday.
Thanks for hosting me.
The Mighty 690 KGGF.